Welcome to the Songs and Stories of Canada. This program is called The Atlantic Provinces.
When John Cabot first sailed off the Atlantic coast of North America, he reported that the fish were so thick in the water that his boat could hardly move.
The rich fishing grounds soon brought settlers to the coastlines of Newfoundland and Acadia. Fishermen built small villages in safe harbors so they could live near the fishing grounds.
On the shores of this new land, the early fishermen found dense forests which provided timber for building and fixing ships. Logging camps were set up inland to cut and prepare the great tall pines for shipment to Europe. The loggers worked in the cold woods all winter, and in the spring they drove the logs down the rivers to the coast. The loggers lived in small shacks called shanties, and pretty soon they started being called shantymen.
The shantyman's life is a wearisome one, though some say it's free from care. It's the ringing of an axe from morning until night in the middle of the forest drear. It's sleeping all night in our bunks without cheer while the cold wintry winds do blow, and as soon as the morning star does appear, to the wild woods we must go. When spring it does come in, double hardships then begin, and the waters are piercing cold. Dripping wet are all our clothes and our limbs, they are half froze, and our peavies we scarce can hold. The rocky shores and sands give employment to all hands, our well-banded raft to steer. Every rapid that we run, we think it is but fun. We are free from all slavish fear. Now rafting I'll give o'er, and I'll anchor safe on shore, and there lead a different life. No more I'll wish to roam, but contented stay at home with a kind and a loving wife.
I was a shantyman too, but I didn't work on the river too much. I was a skidder. That's where we worked with the horses. We dragged the logs out of the woods and took them down to the river. I'd been a chore boy in the kitchens and a swamper cutting out trails, but I liked working with the horses best. I got pretty good with them, too. Oh, when I started with them, I guess I was about 13, up in a camp in Green River, New Brunswick. I'd been doing a lot of things around the camp, but I got a chance suddenly to work with the horses. They were kept in a little shelter down in the woods. So the first morning, I went down there to have a look at the one I was going to drive. His name was Sandy, a big bay horse. Old Billy, the stable keeper, was there. He was busy feeding him. Now, he was giving him oats and something else, this fine powder he was mixing it in with. I didn't know what he was doing. He looks up when I came in. He says, "Are you the kid that's going to drive this horse?" I says, "Yes, I suppose so." So he says, "You know what I'm mixing in the oats for him?" I said, "No." "It's dynamite, kid. So don't you ever hit this horse or make him stumble. Well, you know what's going to happen." Well, I was working with Sandy the very next day, and we were getting along all right until this log got caught up, and he wouldn't pull it out. Now, Joe Robinette was working with me up there, and he saw what was going on, and he shouted down, "Well, why don't you give him a belt, and he'll pull it out?" And I said, "No way. I ain't going to hit him. He might stumble. Oh, Joe, he just started laughing. Came down to where we was and picked up this great big limb. I suddenly realized he was going to hit that horse. I was terrified. I just took off down the hill. I heard this whack. When I turned around, Sandy was still standing there, and he'd pulled the log right out. Well, Joe, he says to me, "What made you take off in such a hurry?" And I says, "Well, old Billy, he'd filled that horse up with dynamite and told me that if he stumbled, he'd just blow right off the face of the earth." Joe, he just started laughing some more. He said that old Billy, that's what he always did to new skidders. But old Billy was right. You shouldn't make a habit out of hitting your horse. Sometimes, when they won't go, it's because they know something you don't. Like thin ice. Horses seem to know when the ice isn't safe, when it won't take your weight. At times like that, you should learn to trust your horse.
Cutting and hauling, in frost and in snow, we're up against troubles that few people know. And only with patience and courage and grit, and eating plain food, can we keep ourselves fit. The hard and the easy we take as it comes, and when ponds freeze over, we shorten our runs. To hurry my hauling with spring coming on, near lost me my mare out on Tickle Cove Pond. Lay hold, William Oldford, lay hold, William White, lay hold of the cordage and pull all your might. Lay hold of the bowline and pull all you can, and give me a lift for poor Kit on the pond. I knew that the ice became weaker each day, but still took the risk and kept hauling away. One evening in April, bound home with a load, the mare showed some halting along the ice road. She knew more than I did, as matters turned out. It would have been better had I joined in her doubt. She turned round her head, and with tears in her eyes, as if she were saying, "You're risking our lives." Lay hold, William Oldford, lay hold, William White, lay hold of the cordage and pull all your might. Lay hold of the bowline and pull all you can, and give me a lift for poor Kit on the pond. All this I ignored with a whip handle blow, for man is too stupid dumb creatures to know. The very next minute the pond gave a sigh, and up to our necks went poor Kitty and I. Now if I had taken wise Kitty's advice, I never would take the shortcut on the ice. Poor Kit, she'll be dead, and poor Kit, she'll be gone. I'll ne'er get my wood out of Tickle Cove Pond. Lay hold, William Oldford, lay hold, William White, lay hold of the cordage and pull all your might. Lay hold of the bowline and pull all you can, and give me a lift for poor Kit on the pond. I raised an alarm you could hear for a mile, and neighbors turned up in a very short while. You can always depend on the Oldfords and Whites to help you in troubles and all your bad plights. The bowline was fastened around the mare's breast. William White for a shanty, he made a request. There was no time for thinking, no time for delay, so straight from his head came this song right away.
Lay hold, William Oldford, lay hold, William White, lay hold of the hawser and pull all your might. Lay hold of the bowline and pull all you can, and with that we got Kit out of Tickle Cove Pond.
The guys you'd meet in the shanties would come from all over. There'd be guys from Prince Edward Island, farmers' kids trying to make some money over the winter. There'd be state of Mainers from across the border, and there'd be Quebec loggers from the St. Lawrence. But the guys I got along best with were the Acadians. Les Acadiens, they called themselves. They were French, but they didn't come from Quebec. They came from New Brunswick. You see, New Brunswick and Nova Scotia used to be called Acadia. That's why you see all these French place names around. And these guys, did they ever dance? They had a whole bunch of fiddle tunes they'd dance to, but if there wasn't a fiddler around, why, some of the guys would sing a song and the rest would just dance to it. They said it kept them fit for riding the logs when the river drive was on.
dans la prison de Londres. Dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day. Dans la prison de Londres, y avait un prisonnier.
Y avait un prisonnier.
Personne ne vint le voir.
Dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day.
Personne ne vint le voir que la fille du geôlier.
Que la fille du geôlier.
Dites-moi donc, ma belle,
dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day.
Dites-moi donc, ma belle, demain si je mourrais,
demain si je mourrais,
puisque je meurs demain,
dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day.
Puisque je meurs demain, lâchez-moi donc les pieds,
lâchez-moi donc les pieds.
Quand il eut les pieds lâches,
dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day.
Quand il eut les pieds lâches, à la mer s'est jeté,
à la mer s'est jeté.
À la première plonge,
dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day.
À la première plonge, il a manqué se noyer,
il a manqué se noyer.
À la deuxième plonge,
dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day.
À la deuxième plonge, la mer a traversé,
la mer a traversé.
Quand il fut sur ses côtes,
dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day.
Quand il fut sur ses côtes, il s'est mis à chanter,
il s'est mis à chanter.
Si jamais j'y retourne,
dum diddle diddle dum da dum dum diddle diddle day.
Si jamais j'y retourne, oui je l'épouserai,
oui je l'épouserai.
I've lived here in Cape Breton all my life. My great-great-grandparents came here from Scotland 150 years ago, and our family has lived on this piece of land ever since. My mother told me that when my great-great-grandparents first arrived, they had nothing except some potatoes to live on and a few seeds for the garden. Well, my great-great-grandmother planted those seeds. In the fall, she gathered in her vegetables, but let some of them go to seed, so she'd have seeds for the next year's garden. She did that every year and taught her children to do it. Now, every spring when I plant my garden, I think of my great-great-grandmother because the seeds I'm planting come from those original seeds she brought here from Scotland. Gardening isn't the only thing I've inherited from my great-great-grandparents. They loved dancing, and they brought over beautiful Scottish dance tunes and played them for their get-togethers. In our family, we still have get-togethers. Cayleys, we call them, where there's lots of singing and dancing. Some of the tunes we play are the same as the ones they still play in Scotland. At the end of the evening, we always have some quiet songs. I remember my father used to sing a bit, and my mother sang to us kids at bedtime. Sometimes when my kids wake up in the middle of the night, I sing them back to sleep. The same songs my mother sang to me. The The same songs that came over from Scotland with my great-great-grandmother.
There been fallen drops of dew, sweetheart, and heavy falls of rain. I've only had but one sweetheart. On the green fields he was slain. I would do so much for my sweetheart as any young maid may. I'll sit and mourn upon his grave for a twelvemonth and a day. When the twelvemonth and a day been up, this young man rose and spoke, "What keeps you mourning upon my grave? You will not let me sleep. Why do you weep? Why do you mourn? What do you want of me? One kiss from your lily-white lips, that's all I want of thee. My lily-white lips are cold as clay, and my breath is earthy strong. If you take one kiss from my lily-white lips, your time it won't be long. Down in yonder meadow where the grass grows green, where you and I used to walk, the prettiest flower that e'er we had seen, it is withered unto the stalk. It is withered unto the stalk, sweetheart, and the leaves will ne'er return. But since I have lost my own sweetheart, what shall I do but mourn? Mourn not for me, my own true love. Mourn not for me, I pray. For I must leave you and all the whole world and go into my grave.
My dad was a fisherman. Every summer he'd go out fishing for cod from May to October in a little boat he had. And I always wanted to go along with him. One summer he said to me, how'd you like to go out with me for a couple of months? It saved me cost of hiring another man. I said, I sure would. I'd love to do that. So out we went. That first summer I had a great time. We'd head out and try our luck, and if we were lucky, back we'd come with a big batch of cod. Even in bad weather, it was still better than being tied in behind a desk in school. I remember one time we got hit by a sudden storm. We were still in St. John's Narrows, just starting out fishing. And this big wind suddenly whipped up and the sea started rolling in. And before any of us knew what had happened, we'd lost nearly all our sails, just ripped to shreds, and the main boom broke clear in two. We were in real trouble. There was four of us on board, the old man, myself, and two other men. And when we lost the sails, why, she just came around broadside to the wind. And those waves were just hitting us broadside, coming right over the side of the boat. Every time the seas hit us, we were drenched to the skin. The old man and the other two men, they went up to clear away the damaged rigging, and I was left at the wheel trying to steer the boat. "Keep her nose into the gale," the old man says, "and keep off those rocks." And that's what I did. But you know, every time the waves came over the side, I got washed clear right across the deck. The old man finally tied me to the wheel so I wouldn't get washed overboard. And I stayed there for 7 hours, 8 hours. Not one of us ate a bite that whole day long. We were so busy. Finally, The wind died down a bit, and we managed to limp back into St. John's Harbor. And it wasn't until we got in that I realized how cold and stiff I was when I tried to get my hands off that wheel. I could hardly get them off. They were just clenched around it, tight. I was so stiff, my old man had to carry me up to the house. My mother gave me some hot rum, wrapped me in blankets. I went to bed and stayed in bed all the next day. But you know, the day after that, there I was, back on the boat again.
Come all you good people, I'll sing you a song about the poor people, how they get along. They start in the spring, finish up in the fall, and when it's all over, you got nothing at all.
And it's hard, hard times.
Well, you start with your jigger first thing in the spring. Across the gunwale, you'll make the line sing. Perhaps lose your jigger, get froze with the cold, and that's how you start to go in the hole.
And it's hard, hard times.
When so much fish is caught, then it's put out to dry. The next is the trouble to keep off the flies. It's buzz all around, more trouble for you. Then out comes the sun, and it's all split in two.
And it's hard, hard times.
Then here comes the schooners, go get your supplies. A good price this summer, just make it good, boys. $7 for large and $6.50 for small. Get out your West Indies, you got nothing at all.
And it's hard, hard times.
And then comes the carpenter to build you a house. He'll build it so snug, you can scarce find a mouse. With holes in the roof and the rain it will pour. The chimney will smoke and it's open the door.
And it's hard, hard times.
Well, next comes the doctor, the worst of them all, saying what's been the matter with you all the fall. He says that he'll cure you of all your disease. When your money he's got, you can die if you please.
And it's hard, hard times.
Well, the best thing to do is to work with a will. And when it's all over, you're hauled on the hill. You're hauled on the hill and way down in the cold. And when it's all over, you're still in the hole.
And it's hard, hard times. Yes, it's hard, hard times.
But you couldn't always make a living fishing. Lots of guys I knew used to go fishing in the summer and then logging in the winter. And there were lots of Newfoundlanders used to go over to Cape Breton and work in the coal mines. I worked there, and I worked in New Brunswick, logging. But the good thing is, no matter where you worked, you were never far from the sea. I never wanted to move away from here. I just couldn't stand being away from the sea.
The Atlantic Provinces was written and produced in Vancouver by John Bartlett, Gary Marcuse, and Rika Rubsat. The actors were Tom Braidwood, Lillian Carlson, and Al Cox. Singing by John Bartlett and Rika Rubsat. Accompaniment by Keith Malcolm and Fred Weiss. Technical production by Hal Beckett and Michael Dunn at Entmoot Studios. A special thanks to the Oral History Archives of British Columbia, and thanks for listening.